always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? George Santiago writes, are the Lakers actively shopping their guys like Vando, Dalton, and Jake? Vando and Dalton, for sure. I think if those guys start the season on the Lakers roster, it would be a pretty big failure on the part of the Lakers front office. Because, like, the thing that we have learned about team building under this collective bargaining agreement is that the one thing you cannot have and still compete viably is dead money on your books, like in lots of it, right? Chunks of dead money on your books. Guys who are making anything, you know, higher than like the biannual or biannual and above, who don't play, who a coach doesn't trust, you know, whatever, like that dead money is such a just critical baseball bat to the knees. And the Lakers, like I think that JJ Redick manages Jared Vanderbilt poorly. I wish that JJ was a little bit more creative in terms of ways that he utilizes Jared Vanderbilt. But so long as JJ Redick is your head coach and Jared Vanderbilt very clearly doesn't fit into the head coach's ideologies on the sport, then you got to find some other way to use that $14, $15 million that Jared Vanderbilt is going to make next year than the 4 weeks out of the season that you're like, hey, look at Vando go. So same can be said about, you know, Dalton Connect, who, you know, in November will knock down a few threes and you'll be like, dang, look at this guy go. And it'll be like, and I'll remind everybody, hey, remember October, November, Cam Reddish and what that guy looks like. And everybody will be like, oh, come on, you hater, you're this, you're that. Gosh, why don't you cover another team? Because you don't even like the Lakers. And I'll be like, just wait. And then the calendar will turn to December and it'll turn to the following calendar year. And Dalton Connect will still somehow not know the playbook and not know where to be on either side of the ball. And everybody will kind of remember, oh, yep, that, yeah, that's right. And they'll be like, why didn't you trade him in the offseason? It's like, I told you guys, should have been trying. And that's where the Lakers currently stand right now, where those two guys those two guys and first round draft capital plus maybe DeAndre Ayton, depending on who it is that they would be sending that player or those guys out for, like that is, you know, kind of this year's draft or trade package du jour. So like, you know, in that, every team that I talk to says, yeah, the Lakers are offering Jared Vanderbilt, Dalton Connect, DeAndre Ayton, first round draft capital. What can we get ourselves? We'll see what that eventually lands. I think what happens at the center spot is going to kind of dictate what those guys are used for, in that, like, if the Lakers do wind up renouncing LeBron James and do wind up renouncing Rui Hachimura, and then they go out and sign, say, Walker Kessler to a really big, restricted free agency offer. And if they land Walker Kessler, then they would look to use Vando and Ayton and Dalton and first round draft capital to go out and get, say, like a Cam Johnson, and you would go into next year with a starting five of, and you would, you know, use whatever cap space is left to bring back Marcus Smart, and you would go into next year with Marcus, Austin, Luka, Cam Johnson or Rui or whatever, and Walker Kessler. But yeah, as it stands right now, it's just, you know, this kind of waiting game that the Lakers are, you know, trying to take advantage of. But the waiting game is getting trickier and trickier the further into the summer that they get. Let's see. Herb Wife asking, what do you think will happen with Jake, Rui, Dalton, Nick Smith Jr., Adu Thero, and Bronny? All right. I'm just going to go in order. I think Jake is going to be on the team next year. Rui is a coin flip, legitimately, like 50-50. I could see him on the Lakers next year. I could see him on Detroit next year or Brooklyn or San Antonio, whatever. Dalton, I think, is going to be traded. Nick Smith Jr., doesn't matter. He's not an NBA player. Adu Thero, I think he's going to be getting rotation minutes next year. And Bronny, his future with the Lakers is directly linked to LeBron's future with the Lakers. If LeBron is on the team, Bronny's contract gets picked up and he plays rotation minutes next year. If LeBron is not on the team, the Lakers would shortly thereafter, you know, waive Bronny and, you know, not pick up the guaranteed aspect of his, or the non-guaranteed aspect of Bronny's contract. And Bronny would it would be really interesting to see if Bronny, this is the thing that like I've always been kind of saying about the Bronny situation, which is nobody ever thinks to ask Bronny what he would like to do, like with his career. Everybody's like, yeah, Bronny's just going to follow LeBron all over the country playing on whatever team LeBron plays on. And if I were Bronny, I'd be like, wait a second. I am a early 20s, good-looking millionaire, and I have to follow my dad around the country? Is there a door number two? nobody ever seems to ask that question. Never comes up, but here we stand. Bronny is going to as far as his future with the Lakers, if LeBron is a Laker, Bronny will be a Laker. If LeBron is not a Laker, Bronny will go somewhere, wherever, but he won't be a Laker. Let's see. Spencer Morvek asks, thoughts on Zaire Williams? Well, this is what's funny about the Bronny thing. It just kind of played out this way. This is the order of the tweets that I see on my timeline. Zaire Williams, teammate of Bronny's back in high school. And Dan Wojcicki, obviously of The Athletic, reported that, you know, one of the Lakers' free agency options is Williams. The Nets obviously have their roster crunch and they let Zaire Williams go. He is a very athletic wing and he is a very young athletic wing who checks a couple of boxes for the Lakers. Unfortunately, for the Lakers or whatever team signs Zaire Williams, every time I've watched him, I have not been positive that dude knows how to play basketball. So, and by that, I mean like the geometry of defense and offense and cutting and shooting. And he's absolutely talented enough to be in the NBA. I just don't watch him and think to myself like, all right, that guy's about to get it. I don't think he makes a whole bunch of sense for the Lakers unless he's like a 14th or 15th guy who gets, you know, like that they would take a flyer on. He is so far down the priority list, or players like that are so far down the priority list. Right now, you got to get your center. That is priorities 1, 2, and 3. From there, you figure out whatever else you have to figure out. But Zaire Williams is real far down there for me. All right, let's check in on the live chat to see how we're doing in here. We have a few super comments here, so I'm going to go ahead and play the most important sound on the show. Fuck Washington! All right, the first question that we have comes from Greenlight Transport 8320, who writes, forget Kessler and Watson, first-round pick for Gafford, first-round pick for Dort, and let's get the show on the road. Sign LeBron, Gafford, LeBron, Dort, Reeves, Luka. Let's go. Well, the issue there is that I don't see Rob using all of his first-round draft capital on Daniel Gafford and Lou Dort. Those guys are both fine players. The Mavericks have basically been holding out for a first-round pick for Daniel Gafford. But I think there's a reason that nobody in the league is interested in giving up a first-round pick for Daniel Gafford, and it's that he's always hurt, and he's an okay center. Like, that's it. I think he is somebody who, if I give up a first-round pick for Daniel Gafford, I am getting back. Like, we saw the Phoenix Suns send, you know, Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal and a first-round pick to Charlotte today for Miles Bridges. And I think they got back like a heavily protected first-round pick. Like, if the Lakers send a first-round pick for Daniel Gafford, they would hopefully get a either heavily protected first-round pick or a bunch of second-rounders back, because Daniel Gafford is almost the exact definition of mid in the NBA. Maybe a little above mid, but not by much. So I wouldn't give up a first-rounder for him. Lou Dort is interesting in that you make OKC worse by acquiring Lou Dort, which would be kind of nice. But also, like, we saw him kind of fade in the postseason most recently, and that is something that makes me a little nervous. So I don't know if I would give up a first rounder for Dort, and especially if you're like doing OKC the favor of, you know, helping them get all the way underneath that second apron and, you know, completely clear up their salary situation. Also, if you do that, right, if you trade for Dort into your space, it'd be one thing if you could like get Dort for like Vando or something like that. Then I might be a little bit more interested. But if you're trading for Dort into your cap space and you have to say goodbye to one of LeBron or Rui for it on top of giving up a first round pick, not really all that interested. So, but like if, you know, somehow, some way the Lakers would only give up one first rounder for both of those guys, then all right, now I'm a little more interested. just looking back at the reactions to the James Worthy story, and it was a fun story. It's one of my favorites of my career. All right, let's go to the next question here. Devon DeBerry Martin, what do you think of overpaying for Kessler for a 2-for-1? Deal, steal him from the Jazz, still have your picks available to go after wings on the market. The 2-for-1 being you're saying goodbye to both LeBron and Rui to sign Walker Kessler. You better hope he works out, you know, and you better hope that Utah doesn't match. This is the part of that scenario that I don't think people are taking seriously enough. That being that, like, all right, Let's say the Lakers say goodbye to LeBron, say goodbye to Rui Hachimura. They open up whatever all of the money that they need to open up to make this godfather offer to Walker Kessler. And Danny Ainge and Austin Ainge go, fuck, Shoot. Well, I guess we have to match. Now, you no longer have the bird rights to LeBron James. You no longer have the bird rights to Rui Hachimura. And you have just told both of those guys that Walker Kessler is more valuable than the two of them combined. Like, then you're completely screwed. Then you're like, then you might have to overpay LeBron to come back. Then you might have to overpay Rui Hachimura to come back. And that's just so that you could be exactly where you were before you started those conversations about Walker Kessler. That is terrifying. And that is something that I don't think the Lakers are willing to risk. Now, if you talk to the Utah Jazz and say, all right, we are willing to renounce LeBron James and we are willing to renounce Rui for the sake of making an ungodly offer to Walker Kessler that either you let him walk for, or you match and it hurts your books for the foreseeable future, right? And that conversation leads to, or we could work out a sign and trade where we avoid all of those other headaches altogether. You get something from us, draft capital, DeAndre Ayton, Vando, if you want Vando back, Dalton Connect, if you want a white dude back. Like, we could try to work something out in a sign and trade, or you can, you know, keep this guy whose agent does not like you at all, or you can keep this guy and these rumors of him not wanting to be there longer term will continue, you know, whatever. Or you could risk us making that kind of an offer and fucking up your books for the foreseeable future. And it would be really interesting to see how both of those sides would handle those conversations. But there are just so many ifs, and there are so many qualifiers, and there are so many hurdles and speed bumps and right turns and left turns and loop-de-loos that you have to navigate through all of that to maybe just maybe get Walker Kessler on the other end of it. And the what you risk is alienating LeBron and alienating Rui Hachimura to the point where you then have to bring those guys back at like $5 million over what you should probably have to bring them back at. I don't know. I don't necessarily see it with Walker Kessler, even granting how badly I want to see him in the Laker uniform next year. But until he is officially signed in Utah, and until Jalen Duren is officially signed in Utah, the Lakers are going to keep making those calls, and they're going to keep bugging him, and they're going to keep sending those emails, and they're going to keep sending those emails which ask if the Utah Jazz had seen their previous emails, and they're going to keep leaving voicemails about whether or not Danny and Austin Ainge have seen the voicemails that Rob Pelinka has left before. Those conversations are going to continue all the way up until the moment that Jalen Duren and Walker Kessler officially sign their deals. Until then, you're probably not going to get an official offer to LeBron. You're probably not going to be able to move forward with some of your other options at the center position. And at the time when those guys sign those deals with their current teams, then the Lakers probably call up Milwaukee and be like, what would it take to get Miles Turner? And we see how those conversations go. All right, the next question that we have here comes from all right, Timor 0414. This isn't a super comment, but I saw it scrolling by, so I'll go ahead and answer it. Have you heard anything about this Jokic to the Lakers stuff? I know that the Lakers would absolutely love to make the Denver Nuggets a little nervous about their standing with Nikola Jokic. I know Luka and Jokic would really, really, really like to play together. But I just don't see a world where unless Jokic goes to the Nuggets and says, Stan Kroenke, You never paid luxury taxes. You never did this. You never did that. You fired my coach. You did that. Like, whatever it would be that he, whatever reasons he presents to the Kroenkes as why he would want to force his way to the Lakers, I just don't see it. Now, that said, over the course of this season, there's going to be a lot of noise. Just prepare yourselves for there being a lot of noise there. I said this yesterday on the show. I'm going to continue to repeat it. I want the Lakers to build out the best roster that they can possibly build to vie for a championship and to build such a good team that Jokic looks over and asks Luka what it's like to be a Laker. And Luka is able to confidently tell Jokic it's probably a hell of a lot better than being a Denver Nugget right now. And the two players start to, you know, put their thumbs on the scales to hopefully force Jokic to the Lakers. But like I saw this point being made on Twitter today about like you can't do anything until you see for sure how the things are going to play there with Jokic. Absolutely the fuck not. I am not willing to risk pissing off Luka Doncic for the sake of Jokic maybe, just maybe, becoming available. Nope. Not even a little interested. I know Jokic is great. He is one of the best basketball players I have ever seen. I would love to see him on the Lakers, and especially with Luka, but I am not willing to do like to kick the can down the road again for the sake of keeping powder dry for a guy who might just be like angling to maximize his earnings with that team. You know, which involves passing up on extensions to sign during free agency windows. Let's see. Ashley Romero is what I'm going with there. Rui, Vando, DA, and three firsts for Evan Mobley or Zion Williamson. Would you do this? Well, the Lakers can't do that because they only have two first-rounders to trade. Now, Evan Mobley is reportedly a part of the Cavs pitch to, or what the Celtics would like to get for Jaylen Brown. And if you're the Cavs, like, you know, Evan Mobley is going to be really expensive. Jaylen Brown is also going to be really expensive. Do you trade Mobley for the more playoff proven player in Brown and carry things out that way? But if you're like Boston, do you just hold on to Mobley in that scenario? We'll see. But the thing with Cleveland and Boston and Denver and Detroit and Utah is they are all focused on being good basketball teams next year. And the Lakers, whenever they have trade negotiations with teams, what they are offering is draft assets and financial flexibility. But if you're trying to be as good as you can possibly be as a basketball roster next year, those things don't matter to you. So those teams that would be coming from, or those players that would be coming from teams that are trying to be competitive next year, what the Lakers have to offer isn't very appealing. So it makes it really tricky. Now, as far as Zion catching lobs from Luka would be interesting. I'm not going to lie. I would be intrigued. My concern with Zion is I just don't think he's like mature at all. So like, all right, there is a, I'm not going to say which player it is, but there was a player that the Lakers were interested in trading for a couple of years back who they could have gotten and would have legitimately helped and would have aged pretty well to this point since the time that the Lakers could have traded for that player. Trade talks got fairly far down the line. And then, you know, the Lakers talk to some people around the league about this player. And the Lakers come to find out that this player had a couple of habits that would have been, let's just say, enabled by living in Los Angeles. And they were like, nope, not going to trade for this guy. Because they were worried about that player's lifestyle choices and tendencies and how they would handle those things in Los Angeles, being zillionaires, young, good-looking zillionaires in Los Angeles. They were like, no, we're not really interested in that. That player eventually gets traded to a different team, has a pretty good run, and the rest is history. And I think that the Lakers probably feel about Zion Williamson right now the way that they felt about that other player before, where it's like Zion has some tendencies. He has some interests. He has some vices. And if you open Zion Williamson to Los Angeles with the amount of money and the amount of resources that Zion Williamson has, how well would those vices go for him? And I think there are probably some people who are like, might work out. Maybe he turns a page. Maybe he matures. But also, maybe he doesn't. And there are, you know, I think there are very real and fair concerns on that front that would keep the Lakers from trading for Zion Williamson. I did not like answering that question because I do not like talking about that stuff. All right, we move on to the next super comment that we have here. And we have, I think, a few more. Let's see. Tori Dispress left a super comment without a question. So I'm going to see if there is a question or a comment here. Otherwise, oh, here we go. What is this Marcus Smart noise? What are the chances the Lakers don't bring back Smart? I feel like losing him for nothing would be pretty rough. Completely agree about that. The Lakers really want him back, is what I have been able to glean, is that they 100% believe in his impact on the locker room last year. They 100% believe in his impact on the defense last year. And they 100% believe that they would, you know, that it makes all the sense in the world to bring him back. However, they have limited funds here and they don't have bird rights on him. And so, if some team comes way over the top, then you do risk losing this guy for nothing. But from what I've kind of been told and based on the conversations that I've had so far, the Lakers have made a pretty big priority of trying to keep Marcus Smart. I think it would be wise to do so, pun intended. Let's see. Okay, so you left the question again there. Thank you very much for the supers there as well. But yeah, that's where I am at on those fronts. And that's where the Lakers are on those fronts. All right. I think I'm going to pop out of here, cross the hour threshold, going to chop this thing up, serve it up for you guys in the morning, and then go on about my happy way and watch Thrones. So if there's any kind of breaking news or any kind of report that, you know, I need to hop right on here for, I will hop right on here to do that. And that is going to be the plan, obviously, for the next couple of weeks or so. So for the time being, have a great rest of your weekends. Make somebody else's. And I will talk to you guys. Might be in 5 minutes. Who knows? Have a good one, everybody.